word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible.
Do you remember when you were 12 years old? Can you remember anything specifically that happened to you during that time? For me, something that stands out more than anything else is I remember that year our junior high boys basketball team at the school I attended won the state championship that year. That was such an exciting event, especially because that didn't happen too often at the school that I went to. And so our entire community was just thrilled with that particular moment. But other than that, I'll have to say a lot is pretty vague when it comes to when I was 12 years old. Do you know someone that's 12 years old right now? Think about that boy or that girl and whatever, you know, what they're going through and what they're dealing with right now in their lives. You know, the reason I ask that question is because in this lesson today, we're going to be studying about something that happened when Jesus was 12 years old. It's the only story that is told about him from the time that he was born until the time that he was baptized. And the story contains the very first recorded words that Jesus spoke. And I know he spoke before this, but these are the first words that are actually recorded in Scripture for us. And that makes this story an important story for all of us. Whether we're 12 years old, whether we're a teenager, whether we're a young adult or middle-aged or even an older person, this attitude that Jesus possessed when he was 12 years old is an attitude that we all strive to possess. And so we want to consider all that there is to learn from the time when Jesus was 12. You know, just think about that for a moment. When Jesus was 12. There was a time when Jesus was 12 years old. In fact, you know, even though the Bible doesn't really tell us anything from the time that he was born till the time that he was 12, we know that he went through all of those phases. There was a time when he was an infant, and then he was a toddler, and was a small child, and then he was a teenager. All of this happened before he became a Savior. Nothing else is told us in between the age of 12 and the age of 30, but still we can fill in some of the gaps there, and we know he was a teenager, he was a young adult, he went through his 20s, he experienced all of that. He experienced all of the joys that go along with each of those ages, and he experienced all of the frustrations that go along with each of those ages. You know, you think about where you are, and especially if you're a young person whether it be a teenager or a young adult, I find it very encouraging to realize that Jesus knows what it's like to be at this stage in your life, and he cares about what you're going through at this stage of your life. And when you pray to him about it, he's going to listen to you and he's going to help you because he's been there himself. And furthermore, he left us this perfect example for every young person and every old person. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps." Do you remember when you were in the early grades of school and you were first learning to write, and maybe you had a tablet that had a letter printed across the top line, You know, it was already printed for you to show you what that letter looked like. And then underneath would be these blank lines where you were to copy that model that was given to you on the first line. So you would look at that, and then you would carefully try to write that letter just as closely as you could to the one that was given. Well, the reason I mentioned that is because this word example that's used in 1 Peter 2:21, that's what it's referring to. And for us, Jesus' life is that top line. It's the ideal, the perfect, the way it's supposed to be. And our lives are a blank slate. And what we're trying to do is to copy in our lives as closely as any human can the life that Jesus lived. Whether it's at age 12 or whatever age, he is the perfect example for us. And if we make up our minds to follow him, we'll live the best life that we can possibly live. I can promise you that without any doubt whatsoever. You know, history has recorded some truly amazing children, child prodigies who were able to do things that are unthinkable even for many adults. For example, early in the 18th century, Jean-Louis Cardaillac, who was known as the Wonder Child, is said to have been able to recite the alphabet at the age of 3 months. By the age of 4, he could read Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, and translated Latin into English and French. And then there was Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. His name is probably a little more familiar. And this young Mozart began playing the keyboard by ear at the age of 3. And by the time he was 6, he had begun composing his own pieces. And at that same age, he started touring with his sister all over Europe, giving both private concerts for the nobility as well as public concerts. By the age of 8, he'd already composed his first symphony. A more modern example is Kim Eun-young, who was born in South Korea in 1963. By the time he was 4, he was able to read Korean, Japanese, German, and English. And at that same age, he was able to solve complicated calculus problems. They even put him on Japanese television to demonstrate his abilities. He came to the United States at the age of 7 at the invitation of NASA and earned a PhD in physics before he turned 16. This is mind-blowing to think of what these special people were able to accomplish at such a young age. But let me tell you this, these accomplishments of these child prodigies pale into insignificance compared to the 12-year-old that we're about to study. What can we learn from Jesus when he was 12 years old? Well, let's notice some verses that talk about this phase in his life. In Luke 2, verses 40 and 41, the Bible says that the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Jesus grew and developed the same way any child would. There doesn't seem to be anything miraculous about his development. He grew up just as any other child would. On this particular occasion, his family was going up to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. The Old Testament law commanded that every Jewish male was to visit the city of Jerusalem during this time. Women were not required to go, but they were allowed to attend, and those who were of special spiritual devotion usually did. And the Bible tells us that Joseph and Mary, who were the parents of Jesus, they made sure to go to Jerusalem every year for this Passover, this feast. It was a trip of about 80 miles for them from Nazareth to Jerusalem. It would take them about 3 or 4 days. Typically, they would travel in a group of people. And all of the people from a particular place going would travel together. One, because there was an opportunity for fellowship being together, but also because it gave them some extra protection from robbers or any other dangers that might come along the way. Now, Luke 2:42 says that when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. This particular Passover was especially significant for Jesus. See, Jewish boys became accountable to the law of God at age 13. And there was a ceremony, and even to this day is a ceremony that's held at this age called the Bar Mitzvah. Bar Mitzvah means son of the law or son of the covenant. So the last couple of Passovers before a boy turned 13 were particularly important, because at 13 he was to become responsible to the law. So prior to that point, he was preparing and getting ready to fulfill his responsibility to the law. So Jesus, just like every other 12-year-old boy at the time, had this on his mind as he was going up to Jerusalem. Then the Bible says, when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Luke 2:43-45. Something happened that must have terrified Joseph and Mary. They had been given the privilege to be parents for the Son of God, and now they've lost him. At the end of the feast, they left Jerusalem. And again, they were traveling in big company, a company of people, and the men traveled together and the women traveled together. Joseph probably assumed that Jesus was with Mary. Mary probably assumed that he was with Joseph. Up to this point, my guess would be Jesus had been the kind of child that you didn't have to keep an eye on all the time, because he was a mature child. But after that first day of traveling, they realized he wasn't with them. They looked everywhere for him. They couldn't find him. Well, it took them a whole day to travel back to Jerusalem, and then evidently it took them a whole day of searching in Jerusalem to find him, because the Bible says it was 3 days. That must have been the longest 3 days in Joseph and Mary's life. What had happened to him? Where was he? Where would they find him? Well, verse 46 says, so it was, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. I don't know where all they went looking for him first, but evidently it didn't occur to them initially to look for him in the temple. But eventually, that's where they found him. He was in the temple. This 12-year-old boy, more than anywhere else, he wanted to be somewhere where he could be learning about God's word. Some of the most eminent teachers in Judaism at the time would have been in Jerusalem for Passover. And for Jesus, this was a great opportunity to sit in their midst and listen to them and learn from them and ask them questions. He was so eager to learn. I wonder what kind of questions he asked them. Maybe he asked them some questions that made them a little bit nervous. Like, for example, some of them, we learned in Matthew 5, some of them taught the law in such a way that they taught the people it was okay to to lust after a woman as long as you didn't commit the physical act of adultery. I wonder if Jesus asked them about that. Or maybe some of the other misinterpretations they made of the law. His questions were penetrating and insightful and profound. And the Bible says that the people were amazed by him. They were impressed by his burning, passionate, consuming interest to know more about the Word of God. Now, must keep in mind, all of this is happening at age 12. And Mary is distraught. She says, Jesus, why did you do this to us? We've been looking everywhere for you. And that's when Jesus said his very first recorded words in Scripture. And here's what he said. Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Luke 2:49-50. In this confession, Jesus made it clear that his first priority was to do the will of his heavenly Father. He was Joseph and Mary's son, but he was more than that. He was the eternal Son of God who came down from heaven. And he was here to do his Father's business. He thought that it would have seemed obvious to Joseph and Mary that he would be in his Father's house. Joseph and Mary were still trying to take in the full magnitude and the significance of this. The Bible says that Mary kept this saying in her heart. And then the Bible says that he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He was the Son of God, but he was still obedient to his earthly parents. He kept the fifth commandment because that's what God wanted him to do. Now, what can we learn that can help us in a practical way from this event that happened when Jesus was 12? Well, the first thing that stands out to me is how hungry Jesus was to learn about God's Word. Jesus loved, studied, and obeyed the Bible. And I want to imitate that attitude. I want to have that same love for Scripture that he had. You ever wonder where his parents first searched for Jesus? Maybe there was a place where the kids often went to play. Maybe they went there. Maybe there were some friends and relatives who lived in the city and they went to their homes. Maybe there was a swimming hole where the kids went when they were in Jerusalem. They went everywhere they could think of. But evidently, the temple was the last place that they looked. And maybe it does seem unusual for a 12-year-old to want to be in the temple at that time. But whether it's unusual or not, that's the attitude I want to have. I want to have the kind of attitude that says, if you need to find me, you'll probably find me somewhere studying the Word of God. I think about these smartphones and tablets that have become such a common thing in our lives today. We use them every day, several times throughout the day, not just for phone calls anymore. We use them to stay in touch with people all over the world. We use them to check the weather. We use them to keep track of our calendar and all kinds of different things. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think sometimes they do become a distraction. I happen to know that for some young people, and maybe some that are not so young, many times in church services, there's a temptation to get out that phone during the middle of sermon or some part of the service and check what's going on Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram or maybe to play some of the games that are available on these things. You know, those things are okay, but there's a time and a place, and the worship of the Lord is not the time and it's not the place. Those are the times when God needs to have our undivided attention. If we're going to be using these devices, and we need to be using them to get closer to God and to learn more about Him. Lots of good Bible apps that we can have that can help us to set a good habit for reading Scripture and to always have the Bible at our fingertips whenever we might need it. Whenever we're in a class or listening to a sermon, I pray that we can have that same hunger that Jesus had when he was 12 years old. The hunger that will help us to make the most of every opportunity that we have to grow in God's Word. The Bible says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. So Jesus was hungry to learn about God's Word. Here's another thing I learned from Jesus when he was 12. Jesus was eager to be about his Father's business. Now, as I said, these are his first recorded words spoken here on earth. This is the first thing that the Holy Spirit saw fit to tell us that Jesus said. I get the impression from that the Holy Spirit is saying, if you really want to understand who Jesus was, especially in the early years of his life, here's what you need to hear. Here's what he said. I want to be doing my Father's business. That's what mattered to him. You know what? The adolescent years are not wasted time. Sometimes maybe we're tempted to think that. You know, seems like when we're growing up, we're always waiting for something else to happen. We always feel like we're just waiting for the next thing to happen. We just want to turn 13 so we can be a teenager. We just want to turn 16 so we can get out and drive. We just want to turn 18 so that we can be an adult. We just want to finish school. We just want to start a career. We just want to get married. We just want to have children. It seems like we're always waiting for the next thing to happen. And the sad part of that is, we can lose sight of how important it is to be living in the moment that we're in right now. Age 12 was not wasted on Jesus. He wasn't just waiting for something else to happen. He was making the most of that moment that he had, and he was using it to glorify God. Folks, you can use your life to do some amazing things for the Lord in his church. We are all missionaries in one sense or another. We all have a mission field. People that we know, people in our circle that we see on a regular basis, and we have an opportunity to influence them. We have an opportunity to invite them to church, and we have an opportunity to give them the chance to study the Word of God, to know God, and be saved. The church is always going to need song leaders and people to lead prayers and people to teach classes and people to serve as deacons and serve as elders. And if we have the attitude of Jesus that is ready to be about the Father's business, then we'll be ready to step up into these roles where we have the ability and the opportunity to do so. Not everybody has the same abilities. I know that. But what abilities we do have, we must be eager to use in the Father's business. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." But here's another thing I want you to notice about Jesus when he was 12. Jesus loved and respected his parents. Verse 51 tells us about how when they went back to Nazareth, he was subject to them. Even though he was the Son of God, that didn't excuse him from being respectful to his parents. Now, what kind of parents did Jesus have? God chose Joseph and Mary for this task for a reason. And so it's a beneficial study for us to just stop and consider what kind of parents were Joseph and Mary. Well, for one thing, they were faithful people. When Mary received the word that even though she was a virgin, she was going to bear a child conceived in her by the Holy Spirit through a miraculous means, and that she would, raise this child. And you know what she said? Let it be to me according to your word. Luke 1:38. Throughout their lives, we see how they fulfilled the law of God, offering the sacrifices that God had commanded, attending the feast that God had commanded. They were faithful in going to the synagogue every Sabbath day. They were faithful people. They loved God. They loved His word. They wanted to live their lives according to that. They were loving and merciful people. When Joseph first heard that Mary was pregnant, he didn't know what was happening. And his first instinct was that Mary had committed a sin against him. The Bible says he was going to put her away. But being a just man, being a fair man, he didn't want anything bad to happen to Mary, even though he was convinced she'd just sinned against him. Still, he was going to put her away privately instead of making her a public example. And that says something about the kind of man that Joseph was. Eventually, an angel appeared to him and revealed what was really happening. But I always think it's interesting that the Bible tells us about Joseph's first reaction to this, because I think that he wants us to know what kind of man he was. He was a merciful man, forgiving and loving man. God needs fathers to be like that, to be loving and merciful men. Something else about Jesus' parents is that they were disciplined people. Jesus had rules to follow, and the Bible says he was subject to those rules. They were hard-working people. The Bible emphasizes how Joseph was a carpenter. He was a man willing to work and make an honest living. They weren't perfect. I mean, after all, they did lose Jesus this time in Jerusalem. They weren't perfect people. They were good people. God trusted them to raise His Son. And even though Jesus was equal with God, He willingly obeyed the rules of Joseph and Mary. And He set for us an example there. As a result of these principles, Jesus developed into the complete person that God wanted him to be. And if we follow his example, we can do the same. Let's resolve here today that we will strive to be as hungry for the Word of God as Jesus was. That we'll be as eager as he was to be about the Father's business. And that we'll develop love and respect for those who go before us, that we might follow in their example, and that we might set an example for others to follow ourselves.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.